Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shots to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo.
Gentlemen, start your engines! We're back again. It's season 8 of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, simply the BS. And this time we are dealing with State Park or Heavy Metal Summer, whichever you prefer. I am your host, Ink Dan Stanadoo, and I am joined by my pals, my partners in crime, and I got Nick, Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations. I'm glad I could make this one because, yeah, I've seen it before.
we're driving down to the Weewanka Wilderness Challenge, so I know Jim will be totally excited about the challenge.
It's the orienteering, the Oriental hearing. Sorry,
the Oriental hearing
that I'm gonna have the most trouble with.
And Jack, which event are you good for?
Why don't you ever do these in the same order? Why do I never know which one of us you're going to call on first? And
that's part of the fun.
Uses the hell out of me. All right. Hi. Let's talk this movie.
Were you surprised by the order, or that he called on you at all?
Like, a little.
You knew it was coming at some point.
Yeah, but
it's not,
you know,
like
I never...
sometimes we throw to you at the end of the episode.
Love that. You guys go through the whole thing there at the end, you just go Jack Box.
By the way, Jack was here. Just in case you missed it, Jack was here.
Brad's the one who Mr. Brad Doc is the one who's not here.
That's right. Fucking guy. All right, Nick. Nick, explain the six movies that form State Park.
In any order you like.
Yes.
The State Park that we're visiting, I think it's called Weewanka something or other, is in trouble. The state has sold it off to a big developer for some sort of pesticide company, I think. And it's up to the kids who seemingly inhabit this park to save it. Meanwhile, we have lots of excuses to show bare breasts, a couple hair crescencies, and kids just generally having fun. This one's not plot heavy.
it's multiple plots heavy.
Well, it has three different titles. It's called State Park, Heavy Metal Summer, and How to Fill 90 Minutes with Nothing.
If you've seen Loose Screws or Up the Creek or anything like this, it's not going to surprise you that this one has the added twist of a wilderness competition for the finale, which is something I didn't know existed. And since when do state parks give a $5,000 scholarship for contests like this? The prize seemed rather high to me.
Well, in fairness, you just said you didn't know they did these contests, so you don't have a range of what the prize should be.
True.
$5,000 of all the things in this movie, $5,000, only $5,000 is the most plausible thing in the entire movie. It's not like they said $50,000. That I couldn't have bought.
That in the state, for a state park, they weren't really all that interested in conserving anything. It seemed like a public campground.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was a state park for all the. It does really seem more private campgroundy.
Well, the beside the so here's what I kind of gathered. Beside the campground was like owned land by the Honeycutt family, which was Truckee and his brother. And that's kind of the way I felt. Like even though Truckee owned,
were they the dumb ones with the boat?
No. Truckee was the bear. And his brother was the one who was yearning after the hairdresser girl.
No. Who are the Honeycutts?
Well, Truckee and his brother are the Honeycutts.
Oh. And they own the land?
No, I think they own the land next to it, and they own the and on the campground they run the corner store, the
Okay, so they own land and have the... See, that was a major plot point that I missed in there.
They're leasing where the actual little...
Yeah. No, see, I
thought yeah, they were without just that, leasing.
I didn't know they owned any land.
Without that, how could you follow the plot at all?
Which plot? Okay, so let's let's try to break down all the different plots, because I think there's so many of them. So the way I see it, you have the heavy metal summer plot, which is the bassist and the drummer going to LA to find more band members so that they can be an awesome heavy metal band.
Like Ted Nugent.
Yeah, and meet Ted Nugent. And then, so then that's one of their plots. Then you have the three girls who are there.
No, they have their own separate plots there.
Well, between the two, you want to break it out too.
Oh, yeah, between the two. No. You got the drummer who has to defeat his fear of old people. And the lead singer, I guess he's guitarist,
bassist.
Who has to defeat his girl of fear of preppy girls that want to throw themselves at him.
Oh, it's hard being him.
What I want to know. Okay, so that one we're calling the heavy metal summer one. So now you got the three girls. Are we calling this the state park plot then?
It's part of the state park because the one girl that really wants to win the Orient that really wants to win the challenge, she's the only one that really veers into that. The other ones kind of follow their own path a little bit, and that's the more straight class of 1984 movie where it's like the girls are out on spring break and want to see about having sex with as many guys as possible before you wind up getting married to Mr. Preppy Pants at the end and do
now,
some hairdressing.
Was the state park their final destination?
I believe it was. Yeah, it was in their case.
Okay, I thought the one girl was going to compete in this thing, and then they were moving on.
I suppose that's possible.
We're clear they're not living here permanently. No, none of them are.
Besides
the two. And the one girl, by the way, I don't think was trying to have sex with everybody. I think she was just giving topless haircuts, as most people do.
That's right. And you keep this in mind. Topless haircut. She gave the same haircut to everybody. So
and by the way, we should mention now the people running the store. One is named Truckee, the other is named Trailer. His younger brother is Trailer. Trailer's the only one who didn't get a topless haircut.
Yeah. Poor kid. And he wanted one. He was desperate for a topless haircut. And
I thought the movie was going there for a while, and that would have been uncomfortable.
I can think back on some of these movies at that era where it went, oh, yeah, those kids were like 12 when they're standing, naked woman standing in front of them. I'm like, they're lucky, I guess, but it's
but yeah, and so then you have the Wee Wonka race, which the Wilderness Challenge, which is totally like up the creek in that regard. And so you have the girl that's looking for that. She needs the money.
But their concept was, let's do up the creek, but shittier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Without the high cost of whitewater rafting.
Yeah.
Like they just run through the same set of
orientation. orientation challenge instead. That was weird. Like,
whereas the Up the Creek, that segment is like 15 minutes of the movie at the end. This is like a minute 50.
Oh yeah, but the build up to it is enormous.
Yeah.
And so, and here's one of the things that I didn't get. Okay, so she needs the $5,000 scholarship, so that which is explained, scholarship, so that she can go to school because her parents have declared bankruptcy. So meanwhile, our heavy metal bassist guy, the heavy metal guys, they hatch the plan that they're going to get the $5,000 scholarship so that they can buy Marshall amps.
Yeah. This heavy metal band with a bassist and a drummer.
And a drummer.
No,
yes.
Guitar.
Well, they're going to LA to build build a super band.
Yeah. With the Nooch.
Yeah. And then And then
just a suggestion, the Nooch.
Yeah. And then you have Truckee, who is the bear who is trying to save the place from the evil land.
I think you skipped over the bear too easily.
the bear is like a definite, like, you know, I'm just trying to get the lay of the land before we go into the bear.
I think I'm this more confused makes a whole start. Lot more sense if you just leave the bear out. We can bring him in later, but if you're explaining this movie, just leave him out.
That is all the plots in the movie. And then what we do is none of them resolve or move forward. By the time you've established all those plots, 90 minutes is up.
Well, no, you have the evil land developer guy. It's found out that of course he's dumping toxic waste, so he gets the comeuppance, and all the girls meet their proper guys, but otherwise everything else is the same.
Well, and the girl that has to leave school gets the $5,000 in the end.
In the end, even though she, oddly enough, doesn't actually win the thing. The winner,
But it's because the other girl who does win it describes the three of them, but we're the three musketeers.
Yes.
So my favorite part of the ending ending is, so one of the other three wins. So the girl who her dad went bankrupt. She can't afford to go to their school anymore. The other kids, they're rich kids. So one of those other two girls wins. She has the $5,000 check and she hands it to the girl whose family has gone bankrupt and said, now you can stay in school. And she's like, that's amazing. I can't believe you're doing this. And then the girl who won says, it's okay. You can owe me. You can pay it back.
Yeah.
Like, wow, that's quite a gift you just gave her. It's very, very kind of you.
It's good people. Well, the fact that she even managed to win after like half-assing the entire competition.
I love when they do that in a competition where the person that, you know, gets easily distracted and just sort of, I'm just doing this, and plods along wins. I enjoy that. I like those.
Total tortoise and a hare story, yeah. Something, that's for sure.
I mean, she only got through the orientation because she spotted a pretty flower.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many characters in this movie, and just it pays no real attention to where it wants to go or why it needs to go there for the most part.
So for the toxic dumping storyline, Truckee, who's our hero and the worst actor I've seen in this, like ever in this this whole podcast, he's just so awful. He sneaks in. He takes some pictures of them dumping big barrels of toxic waste into the ground.
And then later complains he has no evidence, by the way. I would just like to say.
I don't know if he makes it away with the camera, but he takes pictures anyway.
And, well, because he gets attacked at that point.
Yeah, he gets attacked. And then they're just going to throw him into the pit and bury him. And I'm really like, for how sweet these movies kind of are, it's a surprising amount of them end with an attempted murder. Like, that just seems to be a, like, by the end, like, you must ramp it up, like, really high. So let's just, you know, try to kill him. Try to get, like, he's been an inconvenience to us this whole time. Let's murder him.
Well, that, I mean, this one had one of the weird, or one of the, you know, probably most different villains, because often these kind of movies will have the prudish girl or whatever, or like the evil principal or headmaster, the jocks, that kind of thing. This is the evil land thing. So that's where it's kind of a, like, where it's more of a camping movie in this case, as opposed to a school, but it feels like a Spring Break movie at the same time. So
that is the same villain from Breaking 2, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
And probably that same villain may come up 400 times more in this podcast.
If we get more camping ones, then yeah, I think
that is your.
I'm surprised how few toxic dumps, toxic waste dump things have showed up so far actually on the podcast. It's. Let's get to scoring. No, all right, we've only got like 10 minutes. I just don't know where.
I'm okay to get discarded.
It honestly could, because like the thing is, there's so many different things going on that it's almost impossible to actually break down each of them individually, unless you want to talk about the bear. That's really the only thing that I can see talking about.
Well, let's get the bear. Someone unpack the bear, and then we'll do scoring.
How Jack, unpack the bear.
The first time, I think you need to unpack the bear.
Okay, so the bear, who is called Wee Wonka Willie, is, of course, Truckee in the bear costume. And so he is doing his best to sabotage everything that the land owner does. So he's going out there and doing, like, various eco-terrorist things. And,
You make that sound so innocent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but...
It is kind of a quaintly eco-terrorist in this.
Yeah.
All the people in this movie are so innocent, considering, like, your heavy metalers are the most innocent heavy metalers of all time. They're scared by old people, but other than that, it's just so nice and sweet, and nobody ever curses, and...
Yeah, it's very true, and... But yeah, so I mean, the bear shows up on occasion. It's supposed to be a secret, but the one girl figures it out pretty quickly that he's the bear, and
by looking at his ass.
So he's pulling off the costume. He's bending over. You see a shot of his ass, and she's like, "Ooh, nice ass." So this is the weirdest thing. He's pulling off his jeans at one point to go swimming, and he pulls off his jeans to reveal jean shorts.
That was one of my WTF.
Yeah, and then she looks at it and she's like, I know that ass. And then, of course, that's when she figures out that he is Wee Wonka Willie. Otherwise,
thinks to herself for all of 3 seconds that whether or not she should reveal to him that she knows before it's just blurting it out. I'm like,
yes. And then, of course, she becomes the bear at the end to save him. But otherwise, yeah, like the bear's an odd.
Because if she's the bear, it couldn't possibly have been him the whole time. Otherwise,
that's right.
One person could have ever worn this suit.
Yeah, because who else knows about this? It would only be one person that would ever know about the bear.
I have to say, I was disappointed by that explanation of the bear. The way Jack, the way Jack threw to it, I thought unpack the bear meant something completely different.
That does sound like a euphemism, doesn't it?
Yes,
it does. I gotta go home and unpack the bear.
Well, that's what I'm gonna be doing right after the podcast, man.
I gotta play with you. Gotta play with your Wee Wonka Willy.
Right. Emphasis on Wee.
Yeah, I got nothing else with the bear.
All right. Let's get the
story. All right. In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate every film in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality. The first category is called schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
Well, there's schlock in this. But I don't actually consider it particularly good schlock. It's schlock that's been done better in a lot of other movies that we've watched. And I think for me, one of the things, and I gotta say, I was actually disappointed watching this movie. I had super high hopes. As Jack mentioned, I was really excited to find this movie existed. I was really excited that we got to watch it, and then I watched it, and I'm like, fuck, oh, that totally didn't get that. It was not, like all the storylines just really generally didn't work for me. So I'm only going to give it a 4. I'm pissed.
I'm going to go slightly higher, but only slightly. I'm going to give it a 5. I mean, you might as well call this movie a Canadian Tax Credit, the movie. They're all the same, these Canadian tax credit movies. So, yeah, 5.
Shouldn't it be a provincial park?
No, they're all also, even though they're Canadian movies, they're all also taking place in the U.S.,
course.
supposedly.
Okay. Schlock appeal. It is, despite the fact that 90 minutes and nothing happens, it is mildly entertaining. Mildly entertaining, but absolutely, it's like the thing about it is it doesn't have this. It doesn't embrace it. It doesn't go for it. Like it's really as it, like one of these teen sex comedies. This is the one you would have watched with your girlfriend,
yeah.
You know, 'cause it's really pretty innocent and mild and just. Yeah, so and that's the thing is it just doesn't go for it enough. So a 5 is what I got it.
I unfortunately am very much like Stan. I watched the first 2 minutes of this, and the guy in the bear costume, he's scaling a fence. He starts talking to the camera. I'm like, this is insane. We got to do this. And then that never happens again for the rest of the movie. And except for a couple of removable scenes with boobs, this movie could play on Nickelodeon.
Oh yeah,
it's incredibly wholesome, like surprisingly so. So only 3 for me. More heart than budget.
Tax credit movie. That Nikki said it best. I mean, it seems like this is the kind of thing where you're churning it out, and you just decided to churn it out with a whole bunch of different kind of plots thrown in, where it was just like, I haven't done this kind of thing before. I haven't done this kind of thing before. Let's just toss them all into the blender and see what we get. Yeah, the acting's largely not good, and the story makes little to no sense. So it doesn't feel like it doesn't. And like you say, like Jack said, they didn't go for it. So I didn't feel the love or feel anything like that. So I'm going to go with a 3.
You said they hadn't done. I'd say they'd had done this kind of thing before. I mean,
well, I
everything's
feel.
Recycled.
Oh yeah, but I feel like maybe Rafael Zelinski hadn't done Up the Creek, so he felt like tossing in an Up the Creek moment kind of thing. That's really how I felt about it.
Yeah, no, yeah, I have to say a 3 as well. This is wholly unoriginal, and nobody really cared. Well, I mean, I can't say they didn't care. They just weren't talented enough to show they cared.
I think the fact that it's trying to have an environmental message, it is so wholesome. The actors, I think, really, really are trying. Like there's every time like the guy plays Trailer talks about the toxic waste, he gets super intense. And Kim Myers, I think, is really, really sincere in wanting to make this character and be a sweet character. And like I think the acting is quite. They put in as much. They didn't have the talent, but they put in the effort to be as to and they were trying their best for what ability they had. So I will give it a 5.
I think my favorite heart line in the movie is we should help each other whenever we can. It's the spirit of the 80s.
Yeah,
and that's definitely historically how we think of the 80s.
Yeah, the 80s were the. The 80s were do stuff for other people generation. Decades.
Well, how can I help? That was basically the anthem. 4 for me, all the same stuff. What the fuck moments?
I mean, the fact that they put it together is pretty what the fuck. But yeah, like topless hair cutting, That was really out of nowhere. Also, the fact that like when the one black park guy warden, not he wasn't the warden, but one of the
park rangers.
Yeah, pulls off his hat. It's like, oh, you're here for her, and he's got the same haircut. It's just like, and then you kind of cut through every guy having the same haircut. It's a little weird. Ted Nugent showing up, like, and the old people that the one heavy metal guy is afraid of, turns out they're Ted Nugent's grandma, grandpa, or something like that, and
uncle.
Yeah, and so he's like, well, you guys are loud, so I thought I'd show up, and then Ted Nugent's playing along to the song, but he's playing something completely different than the song is, which is fantastic. So, you know, there's these moments throughout that I think are kind of what the fuck. But yeah, again, I just felt like it was just kind of a tossed in a blender. That was a whole bunch of the standard tropes of these kind of movies tossed in a blender and put out. So I can't go ridiculously high. I'm only going to go with 5.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff in this movie, but I can't say anything that stands out. Or, I mean, even the bear, which when we first see him, that's a WTF.
Mm-hmm.
But they sort of explain that. And within the context of the movie, it makes enough sense. It's as good as anything else in this movie. I can't go any higher than a 4.
anytime you're doing the scoring for a movie and one of the lines is it's as good as anything else in this movie, you're not. the thing about the bear is at the very beginning I'm watching, I'm like, oh, because I thought it was a real bear the way it was being set up.
That it was obviously a guy in a bear costume, but that he was supposed to be portraying a real bear.
Well, I actually thought it was supposed to be a real bear that had, like I thought it was, you know,
like a Yogi Bear kind of character.
Yeah. That's what I thought, too, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, so as soon as I saw it was just a guy in a costume, and then he just walks up, he just keeps the costume on for way longer than he should. after he gets home and stuff, hey, let's just sit down in the costume. We don't take this off because, you know, it's summer and it's cold out. So, but the WTF start and stop with Ted Nugent showing up, okay? Because the concept is these people are playing. It's Rochelle Sweet who's singing on stage, by the way. Rochelle Sweet, who went on to probably be the most successful person, including Ted Nugent, easily from this thing. And she ended up buying Madonna's house for $5 million. She's the executive producer of Two Broke Girls and stuff like that. So it's hugely successful. And she's on stage singing. She started her career as a musician. That didn't go anywhere, but she ended up doing okay for herself. And they're playing these songs, and Ted Nugent basically just says, hey, I was over in the woods over there, and I heard your music. I thought I'd show up to play. And because apparently he just walks around at night in the woods by himself, hoping to hear music with his guitar. In case there's a going on somewhere that he can just walk on stage for. And then they sing a song called My Chainsaw Love or something like that. And that's the other thing about this movie is this is clearly put together by people who are older, who want to connect to younger people, think this is what younger people are like, but in no way, shape, or form have any concept of what young people are like or do like. And so when you've gone out of your way to put together a soundtrack of 12 songs, it's put together 12 songs this terrible. I mean, every single song. The other.
I like the Ferris Bueller song ripoff they opened with at the beginning.
Oh,
it even had the
Park.
Ow, ow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when they were ripping off Yellow. Yeah.
I'm going to have to put that song on this podcast, I'm afraid, because you have to hear this song. It is literally, the song is called, I think, State Park. At least it has the word State Park in it, but yeah, it's Yellow, and it's just it's terrible.
oh god, it's awful. Yep,
this are terrible. What are the plot points? Let's hit this. is they go out of their way to have a scene where this preppy rich girl goes out of her way to talk about how much she hates heavy metalers because they're disgusting. Then falls for one, not knowing he's heavy metal because he's swimming, so his hair is wet, so she can't tell that it's a heavy metal guy. And then when the first time he shows up dressed in the way no heavy metal person does, with a mohawk and white face paint on, she's like, "Well, he's disgusting. Look at him. I didn't know he was a heavy metaler." Meanwhile, she had talked about how much she was in love with him. So she now goes and dresses up with him, dresses up and decides to change her whole style to dress like him. After he has a conversation with her talking about how she shouldn't be a walking billboard, I'd like to point out they spent maybe 10 minutes together when she fell this head over heels in love with him.
Dude, obviously you didn't see Grease 2 because that's the movie.
I mean, I'm like, obviously you haven't seen half the movies that we've watched because people fall in love in these movies in a split second. That's all it takes.
I actually wrote that down, Nick, that ending, that the end of that arc is the ending of Grease. Like, that is exactly the way Grease ends. The important lesson she learns is be exactly what the guy wants you to be.
Yeah. and like, there's lots of little things like that in this movie. So it's not the most WTF, but when you break it down, it's got tons of moments. So I'll give it a 6.
6. Wow. I think you made compelling arguments there. I'm going to up it a little bit from what I was thinking before. I really like the song "Love Is Like a Chainsaw."
Yeah.
Also, but that song that goes boom boom, State Park, is a terrible, terrible song. And that's how they open this bad boy. Strangely, because of the other films from this director, and that I was going in thinking sex comedy, that it takes more than half an hour just to have the first topless scene seems kind of what the fuck to me.
No time at all.
I think they're all removable. Like, there's three scenes, and them out.
There is that other moment where there's another girl who, for some reason, steps into a booby trap where she gets caught up in the net, and apparently being caught up in a net and being cut down from it at the proper velocity will cause your top to come off.
I learned something in this episode.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, exactly. And then those girls are there at the end, and I'm like, really? Did we really ever establish who they are or whatever? They're tied up screaming.
I think it's intentional, because then you could just pop them right out of the movie and release it as a G-rated film.
Yeah,
because they don't connect to anything else. Only a 4 for me on this.
And we did forget that, like, one of the weirder characters was the Dick and Jane Doe characters were like the Russian, put in by plants by the land developer, which made really no sense, and they're barely in it.
I couldn't tell whether they're supposed to be spoilers for the race. They're trying to win the race.
Yeah, they're supposed to be ringers. But why do they need to win? Like, what? what's the reason that anybody needs to win anything in this?
The developer also wants the scholarship, I guess. I don't know what the end game is for winning that race.
Gonna pay you $10,000 so that you win the $5,000 race.
Was it 10,000? I thought they were getting 1,000 each.
They were, but it felt like
he nets $3,000 off that scholarship. Then that's a good deal.
Yeah, exactly.
He can go to school.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. All right, Stan. Memorable moments.
What I'm gonna remember the most about this movie is how epically disappointed I was. I just had this hope for heavy metal and tits, and I got denied on so many levels. And so there's like, yeah, sure, I mean, the bear, like, there's little things, but but it's not good. So I don't think I'm going to like Ted Nugent showing up. Yeah, I mean, like the soundtrack has some highs and some lows and stuff like that, but yeah,
Some lows, yeah.
a lot of lows, but yeah, it's really a three.
I'm gonna give it a two because I know I'm gonna get tricked into watching this thing again.
You're gonna see a movie called Heavy Metal Summer, and you're gonna be like, "Sweet!"
Multiple titles, generic plot that's so similar to other movies. Excuse me, I love. Yeah, some. I wouldn't be surprised if we accidentally throw it in like 3 seasons from now.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Yeah.
And imagine how pissed I'll be then.
I bet you it will score even better. Yeah, did you give your score there, Nick?
I did. I believe it was a two or a three. I
You
think
said
two.
Two is what you
two,
said. You can make it anything you
two.
like.
I'm good on a two.
All right.
Yeah, it's man. The Newt showing up is memorable. Like, honestly, Ted Nugent showing up. Anytime you see Ted Nugent in that, when he's that young and his hair is that big and he's that tall and skinny, and you just go, wow, Ted Nugent, he was a star. Like, I will remember him. I will remember basically his mullet. To me, that's the memorable movie of the moment of the movie, but that's really where it ends. But that it is very memorable to me personally. So I will give it a four.
Right. I think the weird part of the Ted Nugent thing is like about 20 minutes in, they said, I want to like jam with someone like Ted Nugent. I'm like,
yes.
That was really specific.
Yeah. Luckily, like, he just like walks around in the woods.
Yeah.
Well, that actually makes sense.
He barely tours, he just walks the woods. I did not see a bow and arrow with him. But
I mean, this, I, it may be within the movie world, it's the natural, wandering grounds of the Nugent.
The Nuge
run wild. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a dog whistle. Anytime he hears shitty music being played, he puts his head up and goes in that direction.
And honestly, I didn't want to telegraph it. I didn't want to color anyone else's opinion. I thought about opening this episode with an apology.
No, I needed to watch this
I know.
Movie.
I know, but I heard it, like I just listened back to the doll, the episode where we go through this whole season, and Stan was so thrilled that I had picked this. He was so excited. I'm like, oh, now I feel even worse. mostly that it could have been Stan could have picked it. 1 out of 10 for me.
Holy crap!
Crazy concept.
The only thing that's crazy about the concept is that you joined all them together. And that you actually did, and what's worse, you joined them all together, and you didn't bother really trying to pay off any of them. Two.
Two as well. I mean, you could call this Meatball 6, and I wouldn't argue with you.
I probably would have been happier.
Yeah, I'm generally so forgiving on these things, but let's be honest. Like this is the breaking point, this category. Two.
Two. Everyone far, far more generous than me in this category. Zero.
Oh,
Zero from the judge.
So
Zero.
Is this one gonna get the negative one for being under 60?
This one does get a negative in the every season we have 6 secret modifiers, one of which is the director handicap, which gives us a minus one. It is also a work for hire project, so it gets a minus one. It does not get any pluses. And boys and girls, children of all ages, we have a new bottom of the octagon movie. 31.5 out of 100, making it the new bottom rung of the octagon.
Oh, what was the previous bottom?
Tale of the Mummy at 33 and American Psycho 2 at 34.5. Were the
either one of those a billion times again before.
Previous bottom and Unparking the Bear in the same.
Definitely punished for having played for having set up the bear and then not paid that off.
It just didn't pay. It didn't pay anything off. Like it. Like all my hopes were dashed by watching this movie and trying to make sense of it, and just you just want it to be fun, and it's never really fun. And that to me is the worst crime that you could commit in this kind of case, where it's just like you. It's
fine.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
It's, like there's it's, so many better movies out there that do the things that you want, that we want to do, and it's just like, yeah, this just does none of those things. So that's why it scores so low. It's not a good movie, and it's not even like it's not a good Boogaloo movie, and it's also not a good movie. It's the worst kind of movie. It's just there.
Yeah, it just never gets there. Never commits in any direction.
It doesn't go for it.
No, going for it at all. The scoring suffered for the lack of going for it. Well, hopefully, Sean Cunningham and New Kids can go for it a little bit more because man, I need to wash the taste of State Park out of my mouth. Jim,
are you guys trying to come up good homosexual metaphors on this one?
Well, that wasn't really, but hey, you take it as you want to.
And my answer is always.
I think truckie and trailer sounds like a thing.
Tell the folks where to find us.
All right. We did watch this movie on Tubi TV, which is a free place to watch these kinds of movies.
Thank the movie gods.
You can find us on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And you can find The Octagon, our ongoing record of our search for the ultimate B-movie, on WeTalkPodcasts.com. And WeTalkPodcasts also has a Facebook and a Twitter.
Okay, well, you know, let's just issue an apology overall and hope that this is one of those ones that maybe if you decide that you want to watch along with us, just maybe skip it.
Yeah, usually that's the thing. Usually we're like, it's on Tubi, go ahead and watch it. And this one we're like, don't.
Yeah, probably for the best.
We go to Tubi and there's tons of movies that you can watch Tubi before you watch this one.
Watch some of Rafael Zelensky's other movies that are actually like decent. All right, well, we've just finished butchering State Park, and now it's time to move into New Kids for the next episode, as season 8 Simply the Beast continues on the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. So for Nick and for Jim and for Jack, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Marcia.
You can't get married. You've got to shop for a lamp.
Meet Eve.
Your Uncle Willie has a great ass.
Meet Linny.
There's a lot more to this world than just books and homework, Marcia.
They're about to enter a world they never dreamed of.
Way to go, gang.
It's fun. It's crazy. It's wild. It's State Park. It's the wildest state of mind.
I have to get this blown up. Due to blow job later. There's something out there.
Just about anything can happen in State Park.
Gee, thanks a lot, Willie, saving me.
Thousands line up to get into it.
We can camp out just like the pioneers.
but no one ever gets over it. It's the party you can't miss.
Johnny's so cool. He's funny and smart and good looking.
Want to dance?
I have a boyfriend.
And the experience you'll never forget. State Park. The place that's inhabited by the wildest creatures found in nature.
Too bad I'm only allowed to exterminate insects.
Rance Wells trying to dump toxic waste right here in the park?
And if I can prove it, I'm gonna stop that son of a bitch.
You worried about the competition?
We eliminate the competition.
Sorry, Dick.
You're absolutely amazing, man. You ran what? At least 20 miles, right? Through woods, up hills, over rocks, and who knows what else in less than 2 hours. With plenty of energy left to beat the living shit out of me.
Was it something I said?
I hate camping. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. You starve, you get cold, you get eaten up by bugs.
This sort of behavior is unacceptable.
The party never stops in a park that really rocks.
All this time you just wanted me for my bear suit, huh?
No. I was only after the reward.
State Park. Take a hike on the wild side. It'll bring out the animal in you. State Park.